The theme of my message this morning is Spirit-Filled Marriages. I believe that the Lord has given the church the custody of the institution of marriage. And we certainly are aware that the traditional institution of marriage is under great pressure and a great threat of being upon it in society in which we live. Our purpose this morning is to uphold and to strengthen marriages wherever we are at, and especially in the Pleasant Hill congregation this morning. As I look out over the audience this morning, I can't imagine that there would be a marriage problem in this congregation. And yet I know human nature, and I know that in every marriage there are times when there are issues that need to be worked through and problems perhaps that need to be worked through. Someone just said to me recently, if someone tells you that they don't have any problems in their marriage, they'll lie about other things too. And you know, I'm not here to bring a guilt trip on anyone, but I just know that we need to be encouraged in our marriages, and we need our marriages to be strengthened. And so I'd like to endeavor to do that this morning. The theme of the message this morning is Spirit-Filled Marriages. My theme is based on Ephesians 5:18. Not a typical marriage message text, not a typical marriage or wedding text, but I believe that it's a very important ingredient in daily family living in the Christian home. And I believe it is strategically placed here in Ephesians chapter 5, just before the passage on the husband and wife relationship. You know, many times when we preach a message on the home or preach a message to strengthen marriage relationship, we'll start at verse 22, maybe sometimes start at verse 21, but I believe that we need to go back to verse 18. Spirit-filled men make better husbands, and spirit-filled women make better wives. Spirit-filled husbands and wives build strong Christian homes. They are sensitive to each other. They are respectful to each other. They are committed to each other and committed to the Lord. You know, I believe that our relationship with the Lord spills over into our relationship with our spouse. There is such a need for spirit-filled families in the church today. If the traditional family is going to survive in our culture, and I'm not sure that it is, the Christian church must be taking the lead in building strong families. There is such a threat upon traditional families today. I'm not sure what the future is for us. The political winds are certainly blowing against the traditional family. There is lack of respect and a dissatisfaction with the one man, one woman, united in marriage for life relationship. And I don't get very far away from home, and I don't know a lot that's going on, but I do hear the news and some of the programs on the radio that there's just the tremendous pressure, tremendous threat to traditional marriage. There's a letter that I received. It's just before Christmas. It's a fundraising letter that I'd like to read to you. Just kind of puts in perspective the state of marriage in our nation, in our culture. It's a letter that comes from Family Life Today. It says, this Christmas, 4.5 million married men and women will get their holiday newsletter from AshleyMadison.com. Sounds harmless. Well, he says, not so fast. Here's just a sample of some of the Christmas tidings these 4.5 million married people will receive. Life is short, have an affair. Become a member today. I guarantee you an affair to remember. Join AshleyMadison.com for free and have an affair guaranteed. He says, surprise, there's more, a lot more. He says, click on over to WeCohabitate.com with the catchphrase, happily unmarried, living together and loving it. There you can take the 5-day challenge towards a better live-in relationship or your money back. Cohabiting couples are changing America, the website enthuses. Take a positive, non-judgmental look at this new American institution. He says, hurt enough, it gets worse. There's a divorce deli, an online divorce law firm offering flat fee, hassle-free, low-cost divorce. Freedom without the hassle. Browse through the easy-to-navigate divorce menu. Says, kids, no problem. Missing spouse, we can help. Don't want to go to court? We'll arrange your divorce over the phone. He goes on and says, in over 33 years of leading this ministry, I have never been more concerned, more heartbroken over the landscape of marriage and family in this country. I do not say this lightly. There is an all-out assault by evil on marriage and family today, and the impact will be far-reaching and long-lasting. Sounds almost radical, too radical to be true, but I believe that he knows what he's talking about. There is, seems to be such a hostility towards traditional marriage. Makes you wonder, where is this going to end up at? Can you imagine a culture where the traditional marriage of one man and one woman is against the law? Sounds pretty far-fetched, and yet when you view the landscape, the moral landscape of our society, of our culture, it makes you wonder what we can expect. Well, what has gone wrong? Why is traditional marriage under such attack? What has gone wrong? There are many things that we could talk about this morning and still not cover them all. A major problem is that the culture is so against God and anything that God stands for. If it is something that is of value to the Christian faith, then the unconverted world is against it. We are in the midst of a cultural revolution. Our culture is changing right in our midst, right before our very eyes. And some of us are almost too blind to see it. But if you're out in the world and rub shoulders with the world, there's a cultural revolution going on right before us. Another issue is that so many people have tried a marriage relationship and it didn't work out for them. And so they're turned off at traditional marriage. I just heard a person recently say, and this person has gone through a divorce. He professes Christianity. He went through a divorce. His wife left him. He got divorced. He said if he would find another woman, he said, I wouldn't even bother to get married. He said, why go through the hassle? It's not worth the hassle. We just live together. Many people have tried the institution of marriage, have tried the marriage relationship, and it hasn't worked. But I believe that traditional marriage is valid for today. I believe it is as valid today as it was for any time. It is the building block of every society. And you deal away with traditional marriage, society will crumble. You know, the future of our nation is not very bright. With what is happening to our families, is what is happening to the basic building block in our nation, our nation cannot stand. It cannot. It's my purpose this morning to strengthen marriage in the churches at least, and wherever I go. I believe that traditional marriage is valid for today, even in the culture in which we live. And I encourage young people, don't even think about living together with someone before marriage. God's will is that a young man and a young woman come together, be united in marriage, and live together the rest of their life. And it is possible. Yes, we see so many marriages breaking up around us. It is possible, I believe, to have a successful, a rewarding, a godly Christian marriage. It's possible. It can be reality. It is God's ordained institution for human relationships, and I believe it is the key to building a strong, healthy society. One of the biggest destroyers of marriage, of the marriage relationship, is simply selfishness. I believe that one of the biggest destroyers of marriage is selfishness. We're all made with a selfishness, with the basic human nature that is selfish. We want what we want. Selfishness is the root of most, if not all, marriage breakups. I want what I want. I want it my way. I want it my way, not necessarily because my way is the best, but because I must win this battle. There's power struggles goes on inside the marriage relationship. It's all about me. Too many people come to the marriage altar with the perspective of what I can get out of it. I'll be in this relationship as long as I can get out of it what I want out of it. But Paul says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I believe that sacrificial love is the key to a successful marriage relationship. Sacrificial love. We need to come to the marriage altar with that perspective, with that goal in mind, that we come to the marriage altar to sacrifice ourselves for our spouse so that this relationship can work. Anything that has value to us is worth sacrificing for. To have a meaningful marriage relationship, we must be willing to sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of our spouse, for the benefit of our marriage. And so I need to ask, the question, what are you contributing to your marriage this morning? Selfishness or sacrificial love? We're talking about attitudes this morning that build up the marriage relationships, the marriage relationship, and the attitudes and disciplines that are essential as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I believe are the same attitudes, the same disciplines that are necessary for building a strong marriage. The disposition that the Holy Spirit creates and nurtures in the life of a believer is the same disposition that husbands and wives need to build strong, healthy marriage relationships. I say our relationship with Jesus Christ is so intricately entwined with our relationship with our spouse. You can't separate them. They just go together. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Another scripture says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I believe that this scripture not only has reference to living the Christian life, but I believe it has reference to living within the marriage relationship. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We're talking about Spirit-filled families. We're talking about Spirit-filled marriages this morning. And as we think about this familiar passage in the context of the marriage relationship, it takes some definite meaning. The fruit of the Spirit becomes part of our disposition, makes us better husbands, it makes us better wives. We become the right husband for our wife, we become the right wife for our husbands as we allow the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in our life. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. These are all things that are necessary. They are all the fruit of the Spirit, but they are all things that are necessary to be the right husband and the right wife in our marriage relationship. You know, when our spouses exhibit love and joy and peace and relate to us in gentleness and in temperance and in meekness, that builds up the marriage relationship. It's reciprocating. When our spouse relates to us in that manner, then that creates a desire for us to reciprocate that same kind of spirit, that same kind of attitude to our spouse. It builds up the marriage relationship. Galatians 5, 14 through 16, a couple of verses I have marked up here. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some very powerful verses that relate to interpersonal relationships, but also relates to the marriage relationship. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not destroyed one of another. You know, we all know that, and hopefully not in our own marriages, but we all know that there are marriages that husband and wife is just biting each other back and forth. They're just at one another all the time. These are not evidences of the fruit of the Spirit. There's a couple other scriptures that I want to look at this morning besides the fruit of the Spirit. I want to turn to James chapter 3 look at some of these scriptures, familiar scriptures, but look at them in the context of the marriage relationship. James chapter 3. Starting at verse 13, I'll just read those verses, 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James opens this passage with the question, who is a wise man among you and endued with knowledge? And he answers that question in the next phrase, the way he lives will prove if a person has knowledge and wisdom. The way a person lives, he will show out of a good conversation or show out of a good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. In James chapter 3, he's dealing with the tongue. And it's not what we speak with our tongue that says anything. It's our conduct, how we live, that really speaks of our heart, of our attitudes. It's how we live, the conduct that characterizes our life. Talk is cheap. Some people talk too much. They boast and they brag about what they have done or what they know. But it's our conduct that really shows who we are. Verse 14 says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. Envy is a selfish ambition, a zeal, just plain selfishness. Strife here is a party spirit, rivalry. It's striving with and quarreling, fighting and conflict, which is characteristics of some marriages, of ungodly marriages, and even sad to say some Christian marriages. There's just rivalry between a husband and wife. Issue that has come between them that they failed to resolve. It causes a strife. It causes rivalry. And then that just continues on back and forth as the various issues come up from time to time. It says, glory not. I believe it's talking here about pride. We talked about that some throughout the last week. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. A verse that I have to think about a lot. That is true in the marriage relationship. That is true in our relationships within in the body. It's true with our relationships, interpersonal relationships, wherever they are at. Only by pride comes contention. Humility is certainly a necessary ingredient for a right relationship. Talks about deceit there. Lie not against the truth. Honesty is absolutely essential to a healthy relationship. Honesty is the basis for trust. And that's something that we talk about when we counsel young couples who come for marriage. The importance of honesty, being totally honest with each other, hiding nothing from each other. I tell them that there is nothing that one of them knows that the other one should not know. Very few things. There's very few things that I know that my wife does not know. There are a few things from time to time, perhaps an official council meeting or something that comes up that I just feel like my wife is better off not to know, because if somebody asks her, she doesn't know. She's innocent. But there are very few things that I know that she does not know. There's very few things that she knows that I do not know. Once in a while, we'll be traveling or sharing together wherever, and she'll say, oh, yes, I forgot to tell you this. We just share with each other. I think that's so important in the marriage relationship. We share with each other in total honesty. Keep nothing back. And honesty is the basis for trust. You know, if we are holding something back from our spouse, they can pick that up real quick. And that destroys trust. So essential. Honesty and trust. So essential. Basic foundation for a strong relationship, be it a marriage relationship or whatever the relationship. When these vices are in our heart, it destroys unity. It destroys unity in marriage. If there is strife in our heart, then we can't afford to be wrong. We can't admit that we are wrong. We are too proud to admit that we are wrong. And so we lie against the truth. We twist the truth to justify ourselves, and we damage the relationship with the one that we love. We dare not do that. This is not a spirit-filled family life. These vices are not the fruit of the Spirit. These vices don't come from above. James says they are earthly, they are sensual, they are devilish, they come from Satan. And as Christians, we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is the origin of all these evil vices. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Are you on the same team this morning as your spouse? Are you both going in the same direction? Are you traveling together? Are you of the same mind and heart and soul? Selfishness, rivalry, pride, deceit tears the marriage relationship apart. In contrast to the worldly wisdom, godly wisdom and spiritual wisdom that is from above is first pure. First pure, unadulterated. Pure means chaste, free from defilement. God's wisdom leads to a life of purity of life. When one's relationship with the Lord is pure, then we are free to have a pure, chaste relationship with our spouse. Another characteristic of God's wisdom is peaceable. Again, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is the opposite of strife. Purity and peace go together. When the motives of each spouse is pure, there will be peace in the home. Another is gentleness. Someone described gentleness as sweet reasonableness. It means moderation without compromise. A gentle person will stand for truth, but he will do it in a humble, reasonable way. That's an issue that we have trouble with. You know, taking a strong stand for something and yet doing it in a loving way. Gentleness does that. If we are a gentle person, we will be reasonable. We will take a strong stand for truth, but we will do it in a humble, reasonable kind of way. Another characteristic of the wisdom of God is easy to be entreated. You know, the Spirit of God makes a person agreeable, easy to live with, easy to work with, be reasonable. A person who is easy to be entreated is open. He is sensitive to another's thoughts, desires, wishes, feelings. You know, I know that we can get bogged down with always trying to please other people. But I believe that if the Spirit of God is working with us, we are going to relate to other people, and we relate to our spouse in particular. Easy to be entreated, easy to get along with, reasonable, agreeable. Sometimes we think that stubbornness is a virtue. We do need to take a stand for our beliefs and convictions, but the attitude with which we do that is important. In the context of marriage, the virtue of being easy to be entreated is essential to a close-knit, peaceful relationship. Full of mercy is another characteristic of godly wisdom. To be full of something means to be controlled by. We're talking about spirit-filled marriages. We're talking about spirit-controlled marriages this morning, living, allowing the Spirit of God to control our lives in our marriage relationship. How necessary that is in marriage. Marriage is two imperfect people coming together, and that fact necessitates a merciful spirit. You tell me what other relationship two people can come together in and live together in harmony and not have problems besides the marriage relationship. It's a miracle. The marriage relationship is a miracle, and we need to have a merciful spirit as we relate to our spouse. Along with mercy goes forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary so issues don't build up and cause a rift in the relationship. Probably each one of us would have certain issues in our marriage relationship that has the potential to cause a rift. And in our family, in our relationship, I related this to another occasion. My wife's not very excited about me sharing it, but it's true. Doors is something that's caused could have been a issue that caused a rift in our relationship. Our bathroom upstairs, we have one upstairs and one downstairs. The upstairs bathroom heating system is tied in with the downstairs, so it's warmer than the upstairs. That's a different circuit. And so we keep our upstairs bathroom warmer than the rest of the upstairs. And you know, when you take a shower, the bathroom gets steamy. It's an old farmhouse, doesn't have a fan in it. Didn't have a fan in it until just recently. We did some remodeling there and put a fan in it, but it didn't have a fan in it. And so my wife thought that door has to be open to allow that thing to dry out. Well, every time that door was open in the wintertime, I knew that there was heating oil dollars going out the window. Kind of a source of irritation for me, if I would have allowed it to be. Another one is the door that goes from our family room out to the garage. That door has to be closed. I mean, it has to be closed, and rightly so. But if that door is open just a couple seconds or a second or a fraction of a second too long, there may be a fly come in there. So that door has to be closed. And we can go to church on Sunday morning. She's first out the door. I'm following her very closely. If I'm not careful, that door will shut in my face. I could get upset about that. I could be offended about that. I could go to church and be offended at my wife. I do not want that to happen. I will not allow that to happen. I have to be gracious and forgive her. Those are just some minute things that cause irritation in our home. I'm sure that many of you could relate some other things. Things that have a tendency to irritate, and if you let them go and let them build up, it will cause a rift. It will cause a division in your relationship. We dare not do that. We need to forgive. We must forgive our spouse. full of good fruits, willing to share, work together, help each other out. Without partiality means singleness of mind. In marriage relationship, it means unwavering commitment to each other. Without hypocrisy, sincerity, genuineness in our commitment to each other. You know, that means that when we're at home with our spouse, we're genuine and we're genuine with her and at least portray the fact that she can trust us. And then when we go out in the world, out to our job or something, we have a tendency to flirt, that kind of thing. That is totally off limits from a spirit-filled marriage. It means unwavering commitment to each other. It means genuineness in our commitment to each other. Our commitment must be genuine. No exceptions, no even giving evidence that our commitment might not be genuine. It needs to be genuine straight from the heart. There is quite a contrast between the vices of Satan and the virtues of godly wisdom. And I believe that we need to evaluate our own lives in relationship to this scripture. Do I employ any of the vices of Satan, or do I exhibit the virtues of godly wisdom in relating to my spouse? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to help us rid our lives of Satan's vices. You know, if we employ Satan's vices, God wants to help us to get rid of that. He has given us his Holy Spirit to help us to deal with those things, deal with those vices, to rid our lives of Satan's vices, and to cultivate the virtue of godly wisdom in our marriages. Another scripture that I believe has tremendous value as we look at it in the context of marriage is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, talking about spirit-filled marriages. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, these verses are verses that I even use in a self-examination message before our love feast. But they relate to our relationship with our spouse. They relate to the marriage relationship. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all malice. We must put these things away out of our relationship and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, realizing that God has forgiven us in Christ. Just some tremendous verses, I believe, that speak to the marriage relationship. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, Colossians 3:19. And then in closing, I just want to read a couple verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm sure that you'll recognize that that is the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Reading verses 4 through verse 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it is necessary, so necessary, to be in our lives, to be in our relationship with other people as well as within the marriage relationship. As we come to prayer, can I ask Brother Ken to come back up and lead us as we kneel.